Will you pray with me? Oh, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, use us, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be acceptable to you. Oh, God, our strength, our sustainer, our redeemer, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. This parable of the talents is a well-known one. I've read it, I've preached on it several times in my life. And yet, each time I read Scripture, God reveals something new to me. And God did not let me empty this week as I read this parable of the talents. On my first reading, I thought about how talents is about money. You know, and as I was reading about that and realizing that one talent, was an enormous sum of money. I mean, it was when you think about how much one talent was worth, when you understand that, and then you realize what this master gave to these slaves, you might really get caught up in thinking that Jesus was talking about a monetary type of system, that God wanted them to take this money and go and multiply it. And I'm sure we've heard many sermons preached to that degree, that the one who had 10 multiplied it and made 10 more, and the one who had 5 multiplied it and made 5 more, and that the one who buried it didn't do it any multiplying, just buried it in the ground, and therefore the master gave his to the one that had 10. And for us comfortable, rich Western capitalists in this country, in this part of the world, that sort of is part of what we hear a lot of the time. But this time when I read this parable, and I must admit that it wasn't me, it was God working through other people and reading and realizing that this parable is not about what I just said. Jesus taught in parables. Another way to say that, Jesus used stories, illustrations, much the way a pastor uses illustrations. And he was using these stories, these parables, to tell us about God. This parable, probably as much as any other one, is about God. What God's kingdom is like, what God is about in this world, what God expects from us as part of his church. If you can, in your imagination, in your mind, think of replacing the talents with a description of God, God's grace. The bells played Amazing Grace to start off this service. Grace. It's a word that, like a lot of churchy words, gets overused, misused. And we don't really, I think, at times open ourselves up to what that means for us as Christians. But think about it in this parable. God gave to the first slave grace. And that slave went and opened his or herself up to working with God and sharing and building and creating a kingdom of love and went back and showed the master that they had been faithful. And likewise, the second one did the same. But the third one, for whatever reason, what's it say here, was afraid and knew that this master was an angry and a wrathful master. Now that's hard for us to hear, isn't it? That's not the God of love that we hear. But see, I think that third person really wasn't able, wasn't willing, had not come to understand what this grace is all about, what God wanted to do through that person. If you notice in here, it said that God gave the talents according to what their abilities were. So it wasn't that the third person didn't have the ability to respond, to cooperate with God's grace, but for some reason did not. I wonder about us as the church, because I think that we read this both corporately as a body of Christ, as the church here in Mechanicsburg, but also we read this individually as Christians. And we have to ask ourselves, if Jesus was telling this story to the disciples, we as Christians are disciples, then what does this say to us? Are we, like the first two, cooperating with building God's kingdom? Or are we afraid? Are we hiding our candle under a bushel? Are we maybe not even aware of what God wants to do through us? Now, I'm not talking about something that's going to make us feel good and make us look good. I'm not talking about the ego stuff. I'm talking about what could God do with you or you or me or any of us or all of us if we were really willing to just totally give it all to God and say, God, here I am. You know what I'm capable of. And maybe God, not maybe, God knows what we're capable of, even beyond what we know we're capable of. And let me tell you, I know, because if I would have lived my life the what I thought I was capable of, I'm afraid I wouldn't be standing here right now. Because it's only through the grace of God that we can do anything good. All the things that we see happening here in this church, the ministry to young children, the music, the reaching out, the people who go on mission trips, all that is cooperating with God's grace. There is so much more that God wants to do. And sometimes it's just a matter of us saying, okay, God, I can let go. You show me and I'll be faithful. I wish I had an illustration that could share with you God's ability to work and build God's kingdom of love. I'm convinced that we experience it sometimes one moment at a time, and sometimes in huge ways. I have an illustration I'd like to share with you about the talents, and it actually had to do with money. But I think it also talks a lot about, illustrates how God can do amazing things through a small way, to be through a small seed, let's say. When I was serving on the Chambersburg district ministry team, our district superintendent challenged us to build a house for Habitat for Humanity. And we thought, well, we're only like about six or seven people on this team. How are we going to do it? And one of the people on the team said, why don't we challenge the whole Chambersburg district? So what we did, we took the parable of the talents, and we gave everybody, every church, not everybody, but every church got a $100 bill. And they were given a $100 bill. I think it was $100. Maybe it was $50. But it was one of those two denominations. And they were challenged to prayerfully consider what God wanted to do with that $50 or that $100. And it was interesting because we kept hearing about what people were doing. Some people baked and had a basket that they sent to one person, and that person in receiving that basket of food would give money and then they'd give it to somebody else. Other people had all kinds of things they did. I mean, I wish I could tell them all to you, but there's this one church that stands out. And I know it well because at that point I was lay speaking in a church right down the road from this church. This little church didn't even have a full-time pastor. And they didn't have a lot of people, but they sure had a lot of spirit, and they had a lot of cooperation with God's grace. And they decided that they would take that money and they would get together and they would have an auction by all the things that they no longer needed. And they were the one church, not the hugest church, probably one of the smallest churches in the district, brought back over $8,000 from that $150 or $100 bill. And guess how many houses they built? Not one, but they built 2.5 houses. The amount of money was well over $100,000 at that time, that those $1,500, it was around $1,500 that had been given out to those churches. Now, I used a monetary illustration to help you understand how cooperating with God's grace, being willing to say, yes, Lord, I don't know what I have that you could use. And I know many of us know what we have that God could use. Some of us have been very blessed with resources. Others of us have been blessed with caring. Some of us have the gift of music. Some of us have the gift of caring. Some of us have the gift of going on mission trips and being there in other parts of this country and this world. But there are many, many people sitting here right today, here today, who have gifts that you have buried. Now, not physically, but there's things that you have not done that God wants to use within your being. And I know because I sat in a church for, actually, at this point, it was over half of my life at that point, as far as I've lived right now, and I kept squelching the spirit, so to speak. And it was when I stepped out of that and started cooperating with God's grace that I really began to experience what God's grace is. No matter what God calls you to, if it is truly a call from God, God will enable it. God will give you what you need to do. Sometimes all it takes is being willing to say yes, or being willing to say, oh my, I think God's calling me to do this. And then being willing to say, yes, Lord, rather than being afraid and thinking, no, I'm afraid that this God is, I can't respond to this. Let me encourage you. I encourage you to be faithful to what God is calling you to do. It may not be anything marvelous or magnificent, but no matter what it is marvelous or magnificent because it is part of God building God's kingdom here in this present place. Each of us only has today. Tomorrow, yesterday's gone, and tomorrow never comes. It's today. Don't wait. We don't know how many more todays we have. I encourage each of us. I entitled this sermon, Living to God's Full Potential. I encourage each of us to do that to our fullest sense. And let me tell you, the joy, the blessings that we receive are greater than any monetary gain that we could want or hope for. Greater than it's a blessing that cannot even be explained, except that we experience it through God working in and through us. My prayer for us is that we will say, yes, Lord, I want to stop burying and hiding what you want to do in my life. I want to live to your full potential. And as we do that, God will show us more and more what God wants to do in each of our lives to help build his kingdom. Amen.